Right. So let me bring in our next guest here.
Guests,
Guests.
plural.
Yes,
You
plural.
did good on that. You did really good on
I'm
that.
trying, brother. I put
So
my dentures in today, so
we're getting all this young blood in here
young
before we
blood.
go to some of these more mature gentlemen in the evening.
Hey, Stephen called you guys young blood. What do you think of that? Chris and Daniel, I can think.
Young blood. Oh, well, thank
Young
you. I
blood.
appreciate
Well, do you know, compared to you and I, Mark,
Yeah, that's right.
we're
we're
not
over
pushing
30.
Doctor, we're not pushing Dr. Scotty's
That's
age
right.
yet, but yeah, we're over 30, that's for
Yeah,
sure.
Stephen and I are over 30, so you guys are young bloods to us. Daniel Clayton, how are you, my friend? Daniel, hello. Got to turn
I'm
your
doing
mic
pretty
on.
good. You know, I'm all right with being called that young blood thing. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I can hear you now.
now we
Yeah.
Can you hear me, sir? All right.
Yes.
All right, there we go. You know what? I'm doing pretty good, and I'm okay with being called young blood. You know, we've been having that conversation around here that seems like the older the adults get, the older the age gets for people who have to do dishes. You know, it used to be everyone under 20 do dishes. Now it's everyone under 40 do dishes, you know? So.
Yeah, okay. I like it. That sounds good to me. So, listen, you know, everybody knows the name Clayton and, you know, kind of getting used to your being in ministry now, Mr. Clayton. I know the other Mr. Clayton quite well, and I've known you since you were even a younger blood than what you are right now. And it's really, really good to see you in the ministry, and you're full time in the ministry now, right, Daniel? Pretty basically.
Actually, no, it's on the side. I just moved
Okay.
to North Carolina, and I am kind of a, guess you could say, a contractor's assistant kind of thing. But you know, I'm
Okay.
definitely doing it on the side. I just got back from Colorado, where I was speaking at Succoth.
Right. Okay. You're getting around being able to speak, though. That's great. I like that. It's good. I
Yeah,
talked to
absolutely.
your.
And you know, it's really,
Go ahead.
it's just kind of cool, you know, having lots of people that knew you when you were younger, you know, just to see the progression. So I appreciate it, sir.
Yeah, good. I appreciate that. You know, there are some people that don't want to be, and I know you love your dad and don't mind the association with your dad, but there are some people that want to make a name for themselves, and you kind of have to watch, you know, mentioning their dad's name or family name and stuff like that. But one thing I do love about you is your great respect for your dad and who he is and the integrity that he has within the Messianic community. And so we appreciate you, you know, in that same way. It's a respect thing that, quite honestly, you know, they say that respect is earned, and it is earned, but there is also a respect that comes from a family member or somebody that you know the integrity of the family, and that's where it comes with you. So,
Hey, he's honoring his dad as well.
that's
I'm
right.
telling you,
That's
following the
right.
commandments.
Your dad done raised you right, boy. Good way to look at it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
Mr. Knight, on the other hand, you also come
it.
from a very good family. I met your
Yes.
grandmother, I believe it is, at the Revive Conference.
Oh, yes.
So you got a pretty good background in this also, my friend.
I'm extremely blessed with a phenomenal, great, great family.
Okay. Well, we're going to see the result or hear the results of that. I really do appreciate both you guys coming in and doing this together. You both did a show on Hebrew Nation Radio called The Unashamed Broadcast. And so you've got some background together. You guys aren't really doing much in ministry together. You're both going kind of your separate ways, or are you still working together in some form of a capacity?
Well, you know,
Chris, I'll let you go for that.
Oh, you know, yeah, unfortunately, our distance, both, you know, geographically and just with things going on in our lives, we're not doing the show together anymore. But man, I love working with Daniel in any way I can. And he's been a real blessing to me. And I'm definitely not opposed to us working together in any way in the future.
Awesome. Well, good.
Well, I would definitely agree. The Unashamed show was an absolute blessing. It was a sad day when, you know, the season of that came to an end. But, you know, just kind of moving into different areas of life. But, you know, I second what Chris said. Always enjoy working with this guy. And, you know, I definitely look forward to anything we're going to be doing together in the future.
Well, I kind of feel like we're bringing you guys back for one more show.
The return.
And it's on LAM radio instead of Hebrew Nation radio, so which we absolutely have no problem with. Don and I are good friends, so we're going to let you guys have it. You got the next hour, and we'll pick you up in about 50 minutes and move on to the next deal. So it's all yours, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Fantastic. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you so much. We to you guys. It's going to be awesome. We appreciate this opportunity. So we're going to make the best of it. So Chris, what are we going to be talking about for this 50 minutes?
Woo. Well, my understanding is that this weekend, this theme is all about praise, proclamation, all about basically what I like to say is bragging about our dad, you know, bragging about our father and how great and wonderful he is. So over this next hour, let's talk about praise, you know, what that looks like in a practical aspect, especially for maybe those of us more in our age group. I don't know. I think it applies just all around the board. But you know, how should praise look in our lives on a day-to-day basis, on a practical level? And Daniel, I know, you know, you're very passionate about making things practical and what the steps are. So that's kind of what I see us talking about this next hour. What about you?
Oh yeah, I'm right there. You know, I acknowledge there's different personalities, but for my personality, you know, I have to be able to relate to something to understand it and to honestly enjoy listening to it. So it is, you know, it is a very it is something very important to me to be able to make things practical, you know, not just hear about them and enjoy the facts and, you know, say, oh, that's cool, you know, that happened, you know, forever ago. You know, I want to be able to read any chapter, verse of the Bible, you know, whether it be the most obscure prophet or what, and be able to apply it to my own life in some way. And I believe that's possible. You know, we just got to kind of extend outside the box to look for it.
Amen. You know, if I can go ahead and start on something, you know, something that was just shared was you in regards to your relationship with your father. And that's something I always admire about you, Daniel. You're always truly representing him in a good light, you know, whether you're quoting him, whether you're, you know, thanking him, kind of bragging on your physical father. And he's such a great guy, Mike Clayton. And I feel like it's the same way with our relationship with God. You know, people notice how we interact, how we treat our physical father the same way they do our heavenly father. And when we praise him, it's so much more than getting together when we do, whether it's Davidic dance or singing songs or, you know, having a worship set list. It really does come down to how we treat, you know, how we act, how we behave in regards to our Father, and if He's receiving glory through that. And I thought it was really cool that it got brought up that, you know, people can see in your life that you do honor your physical Father. And I think it's the same, you know, with the way you honor God. And that's how all of us should look at it in regards to, you know, are our lives bringing glory to our Heavenly Father? Are our lives really praising who He is? Are we being good children that represent his name in a good way or not?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I appreciate all this talk. You know, I'm very blessed to hear it, very humbled. It's awesome. And, you know, one of the things my dad told me, you know, early on in my life is where you go, you take my name with you. And that stuck with me so deeply. And, you know, as I got older, I understood that that applies to our Heavenly Father as well. You know, everywhere we go in the world, whether it's Israel, which I'm going to be going to soon, you know, it's okay to be a little jealous there. You know, whether we're going to Israel, whether we're going, you know, to Texas for Revive, or whether we're going to Walmart, we carry his name with us. And people will see that, see us. And if they then understand that we are believers, then they associate us with believer. And what message are we portraying with that? You know, we need to be very aware of the message we are sending with that. You know, is it a message of praise, or is it a message of something else?
Absolutely. You know, it,
so it, you were, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, please.
I was just going to ask, you know, You had mentioned that you had looked up some words about praise. You know, I'm wondering what those were.
Yeah, well, you know, definitely have a passion for Hebrew, the Hebrew language. And one thing that's really cool is when we look back and see what these words are and how they are actually used. One thing that I was interested to find was one of the most common, you know, words for praise, you know, the word halal, you know, used in like hallelujah, you know, hallelujah, Adonai, this word that's used constantly for praise, it transforms into tehillah, you know, where we get a praise, or the book of Tehillim, you know, Psalms in Hebrew. And when you look at the root for this word, this root also translates into words like to shine or to flash light. I was so blown away at that. I had never actually looked into this word too much in depth, but to think that, you know, halal means also to shine, to flash light, to be a bright light. That just blew me away, because really that's what it's about. You know, a lot of times praise is going to be silent. Praise, and we've talked about this on our show Unashamed before, you know, we're called to be the light of the world. We are called to shine, or to be that light that flashes. And a lot of times light, you know, when we think about it, light doesn't really make noise. You know, we weren't necessarily called to be the shofars, or as you say, the sirens of the world, but rather someone who shines light. And if our lifestyle is being lived in such a way that we praise him with our very actions, that's a beautiful thing. And it reminds me of this verse in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 9, where it says this: "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light." So as he has called us out of the darkness of our past, of our old selves, the darkness of this world, and has called us into his light, the way we praise him, yes, it can be with our lips. Yes, it can be with song and dance and music, but it's also with the light that we now take from him and shine forth in the world. Because Yeshua said, "You are now the light of the world. Go and be that light." And I thought it was so cool that the most commonly used word for praise in the Bible that comes from halal is also a word that means to shine a bright light. It blew me away. I mean, it's. Mm. What do you think, Daniel?
Yeah, that's really awesome. You know, it's so it's. Oh yeah, I mean that's awesome. And I, you know, if I kind of interfere with you a little bit, you know, it might just be Wi-Fi lag. So forgive me there, everyone listening. Please forgive me there. But you know, it's so awesome to know, like, for a fact, you know, it's there. The word is there. That's what it means. You know, to know for a fact that this the word praise is not just a up in the air abstract concept, but it is concrete. It is something that we do. It is something that should have a physical implication. And that's really awesome. And, you know, actually, I just remember going back to your thing of, you know, bragging on our dad, on our father. You know, when a child sees their parent do something awesome, you know, I can't really think of any examples right now. Or yeah, when a child sees their dad build this super awesome chicken coop, You know, we lived on a farm for a while, so, you know, I got to see that. And, you know, if it's a little kid, then, man, they go to the store and they are just bragging on their parents, be like, hey, my dad just built this amazing chicken coop. You should come see this thing. I mean, it's got the flap down hatches, and, you know, it's got the latches on top. It's got individual spaces. And
exactly.
You know, the children, they don't even really understand what it is, but they just want to brag on their parents when they see their parents do something awesome. And we should absolutely be that way. You know, it is not silly to praise him for small things. I mean, not to say that, well, no, I'm not even going to say that. You know, it's absolutely not a silly thing just to give him glory for something that brings us joy.
Well, absolutely. And Yeshua, you know, he told us that the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like the little children. You know, that word halal, it also translates into to boast, to praise, or to celebrate. And that's just like us in our nature. And who gave us that nature? I mean, God did. We have that characteristic because God placed it within us to, yes, to be proud and to brag and to celebrate our earthly father. I mean, that has to be a picture of what it's like with our heavenly father. And you know, I think of all the examples throughout Scripture of where that was such a critical attitude and perspective to have. For example, King David, you know, as they're going up and everyone is being negative, everyone is looking at they're doubting being able to defeat these Philistines. They're doubting, you know, being able to conquer this man Goliath. And King David brags on his father. He says, who is this guy who can stand up against my father, the Most High God, the King of Israel? And it was that attitude, it was that mindset, you know, that faith that allowed him to take on that situation, because King David praised his father, you know, the David before he was king, but I'm still going to call him King David. But we see the same thing, you know, with the Israelites going into the land, the 12 spies. You know, 10 of them gave a negative report, but 2 of them said, nothing is impossible with our God. No one is greater than Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No one can beat our father. I mean, what are you scared of? We can do this. And that's the kind of praise that you see having an effect in their lives, not only for them, but for the nation. And it's because it was part of their core belief. It was part of who they were, not necessarily a song they sang or a dance they did. And I'm not discouraging any of those things. Those things are amazing. But praise goes down so much more to the core of us. And we see these examples laid out.
Mm. Yeah, it's, you know, we see it all over. So, you know, how do we apply it to our day-to-day lives? You know, our redundant, mundane, get up at 6:30, go to work. You know, how do we carry it into our everyday? And, you know, something that I really appreciate about my current boss is that he has taken the concepts of the morning and evening sacrifice, and he has made that into a mission of prayer. You know, he does a quote unquote morning and evening sacrifice of prayer. You know, before we get to the job site, you know, we do our best to remember to pray before we actually get there. And you know, so it's something that he enforces, and he really, you know, tries to make it a very intentional point to pray before we get there. You know, praying for, and it's not just, you know, spiritual things, you know, whatever that means. It's everyday things. You know, we're praying for the people that we're working for. You know, we're thanking God for them, that they chose us to do this work for them. And you know, it's something I really appreciated. I think it's a really good way to carry praise into our everyday lives. So and you know, it can carry into even, you know, before you eat lunch at work, you know, just anything you can do to break up the redundancy of each day. So what would you say? What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of, you know, everyday life praise?
Well, I think the example that you just gave is beautiful and is perfect. You know, I'm not one to shut off completely Christianity and to shut off completely Judaism, which sadly a lot of us do, I think, to our fault. You know, there is truth in Christianity. There's truth in Judaism. Just because, you know, people might not be getting all things right doesn't mean, you know, that God doesn't speak to them and use them and things like that. And it's kind of silly for us to do that. But the reason I bring that up is because you talk about how the sacrifice is related to your prayers during the day and your praises during the day. Well, this is a concept that we find in the New Testament. You know, we find it in the apostolic writings. We find it in Christianity, where we see the symbolism, I believe it is in Revelation, where it says, you know, the prayers of the saints came before as a sweet incense, as a sweet aroma, that, that our prayers and our praises are like the incense offering. But Judaism also says this as well. In their writings, we note that after the destruction of the temple, the priesthood, they believe, and what the rabbinic thought is it, it transferred into the home, and that the, you know, the fathers of the priests of their homes, that praises and prayers, the siddur, you know, the daily times of prayer is now likened to the times of offering in the temple. And I think it's a beautiful picture, because as I've quoted this verse so many times, but I just can't quote it enough. In Psalm chapter 22, verse 3, it says, you know, that, that God, Yahweh, inhabits the praises of Israel. Our prayers and our praises are a dwelling place for Him, much like the temple, much like the sanctuary. When we praise and when we are in prayer, it creates this atmosphere where God's glory, where His Spirit can dwell. And so absolutely, I mean, do we want a day, do we want a time where He's not dwelling among us, where His presence isn't with us? So it needs to be a daily thing, a morning thing, an evening thing, as you're bringing out, just as the offerings were in the temple. I think that's a beautiful, practical way to start, is to have designated, scheduled times of prayer on a daily basis. And you know what? I struggle with this. Many of us struggle with, you know, giving God the time that's due to Him in scheduling these times of prayer and praise, but it's a must-have.
Mm. And, you know, my dad would call it a God consciousness. You know, God is always there. He's always with us. He's always, you know, right here. You know, He's inside of us. He's around us. So it really is up to us to bring Him into our lives.
Absolutely.
You know, because He's Absolutely. Already there. It's just a matter of us requesting Him and actively doing things to bring Him into our everyday lives. You know, when something goes right at work, you know, something that was going to be a challenge, but it goes awesome, thank Him. You know, it's not that He just zaps you with the ability to do it right, but you know what? It happened, and you might as well thank Him for it, because, you know, why not? You know, why not just give Him praise? Because He gave you a body. He gave you this amazing body. You know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, we have all these bones and ligaments that work when we wake up, which, you know, a lot of us take for granted, because a lot of people don't have that. So, you know, when something goes right, thank Him, praise Him. When something goes wrong, ask for His help. You know, like I said, it's not that He's just going to zap us with what we need. You know, every day we wake up is going to have a trial, a challenge, an opportunity, or maybe all three. And, you know, what are we going to do with that? Are we, you know, He is always speaking to us. You know, are we always listening? And I think the answer is no, but we should be. We should be listening for those little things throughout the day. You know, if something that we were hoping was going to go right goes wrong, maybe He's trying to get our attention with something. And it's not always big things. It's often little things, because the little things carry into the big things. And, you know, there's just so many ways. It's not like there's just one thing you have to focus on, because He is everywhere. He is always speaking to us. You know, it is completely our responsibility to involve Him in our lives.
Absolutely. And it's really is a discipline. It really is such a discipline. You know, Paul writes these beautiful words in Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 through 9. I mean, this is a famous passage. So many people have this memorized or know the reference to this passage, but it begins with this: be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Everything. You know, that should precede everything. In other places, Paul says, you know, pray without ceasing. He says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through the Messiah, Yeshua. It's interesting that he says, when you are not anxious and when you approach daily situations, when you approach everything with prayer and with supplication, that the peace of God guards your hearts and minds. You know, what is that? Well, it guards us from fear. It guards us from attack. You know, I brought up the examples of King David and the 12 spies and all these various examples of where faith and praise and bragging on the Father was beneficial. Without that, I mean, the people suffered and perished. When they weren't focused on the glory of God, the greatness of God, and praising Him, that allowed for fear to come in. That allowed for the enemy had now room to be glorified and to be boasted about. And so when we take the time, the due diligence, the discipline to have prayer, to have praise as a part of our daily schedule, like you're saying, and like Paul says, and have it be as serious to us as the times of the sacrifice in the temple, this is a guarding of our hearts and our minds to not allow room for the enemy to be praised and boasted about, which you know, a lot of times we get ourselves in trouble if we would just pause and wait and spend time with God and spend time in prayer. We could avoid so many problems that we put ourselves in. I mean, I don't know about you, Daniel, but mm-hmm. I can name a handful, you know, more than a handful of times where just being in prayer and being in thanksgiving would have saved a lot of trouble in my life.
Oh, yes. And, you know, I like that you bring up the concept of, you know, you give room for the enemy to boast when we do not boast. And, you know, the concept you're bringing out of giving room for what should not have the ability to take credit for things. And, you know, one of my biggest pet peeves, and some people get uptight about this and, you know, think I'm being legalistic and whatnot, but, you know, that's whatever. I don't care. The word luck. Completely disregarding where it came from. I'm not going to go into that. But, you know, oh, man, you're so lucky you found that awesome deal. Or, oh, what a stroke of luck, you know, that person didn't, you know, clip my side view mirror off. Whenever something good happens, if anyone says luck, we are then robbing God of His deserved praise. We are robbing God of the Amen. Blessing that He deserves. If something bad happens and we say it was bad luck, we are robbing God of a potential blessing. So the word luck, the concept of luck, the feelings of luck, get rid of them. No, do not bless the circumstance around you. Do not bless some crazy, weird, new agey thing that I don't even know, you know, what luck would look like, but no, bless Him for the good things, you know. Don't Absolutely. Bless circumstance and whatever.
Give glory to God. You know, that's so funny. This is kind of going to get us on a rabbi trail here, and I apologize for that, but I was just doing some research this week for some Love for Yeshua stuff, and, you know, it's funny how oftentimes in Judaism or in Messianic circles too, our congratulations and our celebration for people is, you know, Mazel Tov, or, you know, Mazal Tov in the Hebrew. And, you know, it's funny that word, Mazal Tov, it actually comes from the Akkadian Mazaltu, which is a place of a star. And in the Hebrew, it's actually used in the scriptures a couple times, this word Mazarot, and it has to do with a constellation or a star formation or. And so basically you're saying, hey, the stars are aligned in your favor. Hey, the star is good for you. And it's funny, we so easily, so quickly, and I'm not yet, you know, I don't want to come across as being legalistic either about it or saying that anyone who says that is, you know, a heathen pagan who, you know, should repent of their ways immediately. But it's funny how we give glory to so many things that aren't God rather than just saying, you know, hey, Baruch Hashem, you know, praise Yahweh, praise God. Rather than saying these things like good luck, because subconsciously they do have an effect on how we view it. They really do. We might not think about it.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And it's, I mean, I'm not saying it's always intentional that people are like, oh, I can't give glory to God for that. I have to say luck. I have to do that. Luck is the only thing. You know, you know, it's not that. I'm sure that many people just have never thought about it. But when you think about it, you know, I truly believe it should make a change in the way that you speak.
Yeah, absolutely. It really should. And if we can kind of transfer topics, not necessarily now, but in a way, because, you know, we've been talking about prayer and times of prayer and really having the discipline to pause things, to get out of the busyness of life and praise God and approach situations in prayer. But how we praise Him in front of others, you know, how we talk about Him or how we speak about our circumstances or our situations in the presence of others, whether it's other believers or people in the world, makes a huge difference. You know, I like to think, you know, if someone is trying to give me, for example, health advice or dietary advice, and I just happen to notice that the person, you know, is 300 pounds overweight and very unhealthy, very, you know, they're always tired, they don't seem to be in good health, I'm not going to take advice from that person, you know, on how I should operate my diet or my health or my exercise routine. You know, I'm just saying, the evidence speaks louder, right, than the message. We judge people based on the fruit, or as we often say, you know, actions speak louder than words. The fruit tells us more than what the person actually says. It's no different than us when we are trying to share the good news of the God of Israel. When we are trying to share the Torah or the message of Yeshua to others, people are much, much less interested in what we're saying than the fruit they see in our lives. And if praise is not evident, you know, if I'm talking about how great God is when I'm preaching and talking about God, but then constantly around others, I'm like, oh man, I can't believe life is horrible because I'm going through this, no, I'm going through that, and we're not actually praising Him on a practical level, it completely undermines, it completely discredits the message we're trying to get across when we don't live that praise 24/7. If it's just something we teach and preach and have a belief system about, then it completely loses all credibility.
That is right. That is right. And, you know, even in these random encounters with people, you know, someone, for example, someone asks, you know, well, what do you believe? You know, one of the common things is, well, I'm kind of like a Jew, but no, that's not right. I'm not really. I'm kind of like a Christian, but wait, no, that's not really right either. I'm kind of like, you know, you throw them in a blender, but no, that doesn't really make sense either. Can we talk about this later? No one is impressed by that. No one is impressed by sheepish talk about something you don't even look like you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
No. When someone asks you what you believe, state it. It doesn't have to be a 20-minute dissertation. You can just say, you know what? I accept Yeshua, whom you probably call Jesus, as my Messiah and Savior. I believe that the words from Genesis to Revelation apply to us today to the best of our abilities. I believe Israel is amazing and we should love and bless Israel. That is what I believe. And I believe He is coming back soon.
Exactly.
It's that easy. It's not, you know, in the way we do it. You know, if we just say, I believe Yeshua is the Messiah and I like Israel, you know, that's not going to get anyone excited either. So,
oh man, yeah, that's authentic. That sounds encouraging. Yeah, no, that's so funny. But in the example you bring up, you know, at least what I can identify briefly with what you say is, you know, we easily do get timid and sheepish if it's not truly something that's in our hearts, if it's not truly something that we can believe in and stand on. And that comes in bragging in the wrong things. If we are giving glory and praise to man, then that can happen, you know, because if we're talking about Judaism, Messianic, Hebrew roots, Christianity, it's like, you know, we kind of don't have that same boldness. But if the blessing, if the praise, if the glory is on God, you know, I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I follow Him. You know, He protects His people. I mean, look at the nation of Israel. Look at all these amazing things He's doing. When you now put the glory and the credit and the praise on God rather than, oh, well, it's kind of like Christianity and Judaism, but, you know, you got to pronounce the name this way. And, well, kind of, it's Messianic, Hebrew roots-ish. You know, when we start putting it on man and our own, you know, our own theologies, our own, what's the word I'm looking for, denominations and all this nonsense, then yeah, you might not have the same confidence. So, you know, I think it's putting it on the rock, putting it on the only one who is really worthy for that praise.
Mm. I completely agree. And you know, one way we can be, we should always be examining ourselves as well. You know, am I living a life of praise? Am I reflecting my Father well? And, you know, one way to examine that is, you know, Chris, you and I were talking about this before the show, is examine the fruit. You know, what do people around you, well, you got to be careful with that one. What do the people you are close with think about you?
Go for it. Be bold.
Do they
exactly.
think?
Exactly. No, that's such a good point. And
you know, okay. you got to be able to be objective about it. You know, go ahead.
Yeah.
Are you good?
Oh, well, I was just going to say, you know, like before we started this show, how we brought up, you know, everyone was like, oh, Daniel Clayton, we love, you know, the honor, the respect you have for your father. It starts in the home, you know, it's about the fruit and the lifestyle, because if you're not being a blessing, if you're not having a ministry inside your own home, I mean, you're just fooling yourself if you think you're going to go out and influence other people's homes. I mean, that doesn't make sense. That's not how it works. Exactly. I mean, you're totally correct. Look at the fruit in their lives. And once again, I think this goes back to what you were saying about, you know, luck, right? Good luck. Oh, I have such good luck and all that nonsense. You know, if in your daily life, if at work, okay, you are constantly not giving credit to God because maybe you are being a little timid. You know, maybe you are a little shy. Maybe the only, you know, thing you say about God around coworkers or others is, you know, hey, you should come to this service, or hey, you know, pig is an abomination, or hey, gay people are going to burn, or, you know, if that's the only way you represent God to people around you, you know, you're not doing a good job. What, and I'm speaking to myself here too. Everything, like you're saying, give credit to Him, and don't be afraid if it's around coworkers. You know, something good happens, a promotion, this thing, that thing. Like, man, praise God. You know, the Father, God has done so many things in my life in this area, that area. Or brag, man, how God is always defending His people and, you know, how we can trust in Him. Give those examples when good things happen. Give Him credit, and give Him credit publicly. Don't be ashamed of giving Him credit. Don't be ashamed of ascribing greatness to Him, because people see that. People notice that. They're like, man, this guy is always, you know, even in the tough times, he recognizes that it's a test, that it's a trial, and he's always blessing his God. And people notice that more than, you know, the, like we're saying, the preaching about things, and if the fruit in your life doesn't match up with what you're preaching, I mean, it's just, it's useless. It really is. It does more harm than good most of the time.
Absolutely. It's not gonna make any disciples, you know, and this is why, you know, this is such a problem. You know, you have the children that say, yeah, my dad was, you know, out there in the world, you know, people, I'm trying to think of the word for the example. But, you know, you have a child who his dad was this awesome minister. You know, he was always helping the poor and the homeless. And he was always preaching to them. But he was a horrible father to them. You know, he was so focused on everyone else and then their needs. But when he went home, he did not care about his own family's needs. You know, this is a hypothetical situation, but it's one that's very relevant and very true in our day, that there are so many out there that, you know, they just want to save the world when they haven't even saved their own home yet.
Amen.
And there's always the balance. You got to take it one step at a time. First yourself, then your family, then your community, and then you go out. Then you go out to the world. You know, because the stronger your family is, the stronger you're going to be. The stronger your community is, the stronger your family is going to be, and the stronger you're going to be. So it only makes sense. It's just completely practical. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. You know, we corporately as a people and as a nation are the light and are going to reflect His glory and His praise. You know, this is not an effort of someone going out and preaching and winning, you know, 10,000 souls and, you know, this kind of thing. I mean, those things are good, but it starts with each and every one of us who claim to be a disciple of Yeshua, who claim to follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Each and every one of us, like you said, being a light in our homes, living a complete lifestyle of praise, acknowledging Him, glorifying His name, and letting that fruit just be so evident and shining, you know, being that light that is going to change people's hearts and minds. People notice the changes in families and communities more than any sermon, more than any, you know, YouTube video, more than any Vine. All these things are just really so useless if it's not backed up by a lifestyle of complete praise and glory. I love another word, you know, for praise. We get words like hodu, toda, you know, thanks, toda rabba, or like the very first prayer in the siddur, mode ani, thankful am I before you. So it's this word which means thanksgiving or praise. It's the one that was used in the naming of Judah. Okay, it's the one that's used in Judah's name. It comes from this root, yod dalet hey yada, which means can also mean to cast, to throw, to extend your hands. So like to throw up your hands to God and say thank you, thank you, praise you, thank you. I mean that's a public thing. You know, we don't have to be timid. We can be so bold to throw up our hands to heaven and say praise you, thank you, for your greatness, and allow that to shine to everyone who's around us.
Amen. And I mean, you know, there are different personalities. You know, that concept right there is much harder for me with my personality. But, you know, I need to be pushing myself out of my comfort zone all the time, you know, especially when it comes to bragging on the Elohim of the universe, especially then. You know, I'd like to get into this theme of proclamation too, because I also believe that proclamation on a daily basis and, you know, keeping focus on that in a daily life is very important. One of my favorite songs right now is by a band called Bethel Music. And one of their songs is No Longer Slave, Ooh. No Longer Slaves. And it's incredible. You know, it says, I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And saying those kind of things out loud, praising Him in that way for who we are, for whose we are, that can have a huge effect on our lives, you know, because how we treat the little things in our life, it will carry over into the big things. It will help us in the big things. You know, that's the thing. You know, it's if we can. To do these things, we're only helping ourselves.
Yeah, I didn't hear some of what you said, cut out kind of in the middle, but that's so true. You know, that is from what I did hear, you know, those little things, the proclamation, that's a great song. I love that song. You know, Bethel's over in my neck of the woods, right?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. I just got kicked off the radio for a second, so I'm back.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, it cut out kind of what you said. But yeah, Bethel's over in California, by the way. But that's a total side note. Anyways, yeah, man, proclamation on a daily basis. And you know what? Sometimes, sadly, and I hope this doesn't offend too many people, you know, I hope this doesn't hurt feelings, but sadly, many times in our movement, or our walk, or our, you know, whatever you want to call it, people get upset at so many terms, it just cracks me up. I don't care if you want to call it a movement, a stagnant denomination, whatever you want to call it. In our persuasion of things, whatever tickles your fancy, we sometimes lead the example, we lead the bad example of proclamation. You know, when we should be shouting things like you said, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I have no fear because the one who is in me has overcome the world. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. You know, my God has conquered death. I now have eternal life through the righteousness of my King. When we make those proclamations, you know, that's a good thing. But oftentimes, we don't lead the world with those proclamations. We lead the world with fear-mongering. We lead the world with conspiracy theories and, oh, this is going wrong, and, oh, this is evil, and, oh, these people are evil, and, oh, this is all bad. And once again, I just want to be clear here. I want to put a disclaimer. I'm not saying we shouldn't speak up against sin and against abominations. Scripture is pretty clear that we should, and we shouldn't be silent in the face of evil. That's not necessarily what I'm saying. But when that is what we obsess over, is the doom and gloom, is the judgment, is the evil, is the darkness and the chaos, okay? trust me, the enemy has enough teammates. Okay, the enemy has enough cheerleaders. He doesn't need us cheerleading for him as well. He really doesn't. Our focus needs to be on the greatness of our God. And we say, yes, you know, we can still stand up against sin and say, yes, that's abominable. Yes, that's not what we stand for. But then we switch and put the glory on God, that we are no longer slaves to fear and sin and all these things. And we brag about him rather than being the examples of how to brag about how amazing the enemy is and all the things he's doing. We can't live that life. It's just, it's not giving glory to him. And real quick, Daniel, if I can read, I know I'm always taking up so much time, but Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9.
Exactly. You know, whose voice are we listening to?
Yeah. Oh, amen. Can you hear me, Daniel?
Yeah, we're good. Go for it.
Okay, is it okay if I read Philippians 4, 8, and 9 real quick? I'm going to go ahead and go for it. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. Once again, an encouragement to speak out and proclaim goodness and the truths of Scripture and the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, and God making a way back to him, and how there is only one God, the God of Israel, and he is amazing and he's good, rather than proclaiming all the works and deeds of the enemy.
Yeah, whose voice are we going to listen to? You know, whose works are we going to pay attention to? You know, where we put our attention, you know, people notice that too. So are we going to, you know, put all of our attention and our focus on what the enemy is doing when, you know, he's doing the same thing he's been doing? Or are we going to focus on our God, who is bigger than those things, who deserves so much more attention? He deserves our time more than all these things. And yet still, you know, and we're still talking about a life of praise here. You know, it is praise to, you know, proclaim these things. It is praise to put the focus on what he is doing. You know, when we're focusing on other things than that, then we're giving our praise to the wrong places. And that's one of the things, a life of praise. You know, we can be praising the wrong things. You know, I'm sure a lot of us know that. You know, what we are giving our time to, our energy on, what we spend time thinking about or being concerned about, you know, that speaks loudly to what is important to us. It speaks loudly to what we are praising. You know, if we're not praising God, then we're praising something else.
Amen. You know, it's so much more, once again, than the songs we sing. It's what we conversate about, who we boast on. The word halal can also be used in the word to boast. And I know I've already brought up this example twice, but the 12 spies, there were those who said, oh, the walls are, you know, big. The cities are fortified. The people are huge. And then there were those who said, our God is bigger. Our God is greater. So are we describing the attributes and the works of the adversary, or do we spend our time describing the attributes of our God, the amazingness of his kingdom, the truths that we have in the Messiah, Yeshua? You know, because when we do that, we have victory in faith rather than defeat in our fear, which ultimately is what kept us out of the promised land, was bragging about, you know, what the enemy had. That's what kept us out. Not even the golden calf kept us out, sure. I mean, 3,000 of us, you know, got killed that day because of the golden calf, but we were still going to the promised land. But when we bragged on the enemy instead and denied the greatness of our God and boasted on the enemy rather than our God, that's what kept us out of the promises. Think about that. I mean, that it blows my mind.
And it can still keep us out of promises. You know, nothing. The scenery has changed. The circumstances around us has changed, but it can still cancel out the promises of our lives. You know, it's all up to us. And you know, kind of to bring this back to where we started. I like to read some if I can, Chris. It's a little excerpt from one of Oswald Chambers's,
absolutely,
Chambers's writings. And it's about silence. It says, has God trusted you with his silence, a silence that has great meaning? God's silences are actually his answers. Can God trust you like that, or are you still asking him for a visible answer? God will give you the very blessings you ask if you refuse to go any further without them, but his silence is the sign that he is bringing you into an even more wonderful understanding of himself. Are you mourning before God because you have not had an audible response? When you cannot hear God, you will find that he has trusted you in the most intimate way possible, with absolute silence. Not a silence of despair, but one of pleasure, because he saw that you could withstand an even bigger revelation. If God has given you a silence, then praise him. He is bringing you into the mainstream of his purposes. The actual evidence of the answer in time is simply a matter of God's sovereignty. A wonderful thing about God's silence is that his stillness is contagious. It gets into you, causing you to become perfectly confident so that you can honestly say, I know that God has heard me. His silence is the very proof that he has. As long as you have the idea that God will always bless you in answer to prayer, he will do it. But he will never give you the grace of his silence. But if Yeshua is bringing you into an understanding that prayer is the glorifying of his Father, then he will trust you with his intimate silence. And, you know, that just really spoke to me when I read it, that, you know, we see these silent times as hard and trying, but really they're some of the most reassuring times we could ever have. You know, it is a statement from him that he trusts us. So is our life such, are we praising enough to where he would trust us with that silence?
That's an awesome quote, man. That's a really good point.
So we're coming up to the end here. Chris, do you have some final thoughts that might take 4 minutes? No, I'm just kidding.
No, well, you know, I think we've covered quite a few good things here. One is that praise, you know, just to kind of wrap up and conclude what I said, praise is a lifestyle. You know, the same word that's used for praise most commonly in Scripture is also used to shine a bright light, because this is a part of who we are, not just what we proclaim in our churches and synagogues and congregations, not just what we sing about in songs. It's how we live. You know, Daniel, you started off with bringing up the point that this needs to be a part of our daily habits in prayer, associating our prayer times with God with the sacrificial times in the temple. But then this also has to be how we live 24/7 and interact with the people around us. We have to be bold in giving credit to, you know, where credit's due, giving, boasting on our Father, boasting about our Daddy, because he deserves it. He's amazing. And instead not boasting on the enemy or giving credit to luck or these other things. So it should be something that's part of our private prayer life. It should be part of something that's part of our public conversation constantly. Praise is just a fruit that we display 24/7, and we need to be aware of that. Those are my final thoughts.
It's good stuff. You know, honestly, it takes the redundancy out of life. It makes life more exciting. You know, it makes it easier to do the things that seem otherwise mundane and boring and just run of the mill, you know, getting in a rut. You know, praising God for everything and submitting everything to him and thanking him for everything that comes your way, it just makes life better in every way. You know, it just, you know, things begin to be filled with purpose. You know, you're no longer just hanging that drywall because that's what you need to do to get paid. You know, you're doing that because God has called you to the job that you're at right now, and you obeying him by doing that job is praise. Amen. Obedience is praise, and obedience can be one of the most simple things ever. It can be just going to one of these run-of-the-mill jobs. You know, it doesn't have to be this big thing. Obedience is praising him. He is pleased with obedience.
Amen. It truly does make everything better. I just thought of another thing real quick. You know, I did read Psalm 22:3, but think about it. I mean, the whole point of the garden, the whole point of creation, the whole point of the temple, the whole point of the sacrificial system, the whole point of Messiah Yeshua reconciling us to God is to dwell with him, is to be in his presence, is to be one with him. And Psalm 22:3 tells us that he inhabits, he dwells, he rests upon the praises of Israel. You know, if we want more of his presence, if we want more closeness to him, if we want to dwell with him closer than we are currently, live a life so much of praise that we create his throne and his dwelling place in our lives.
Amazing stuff, guys. Really, really good.
Obedience as praise. Yes. I've never considered that.
I love it.
Excellent. Excellent.
You know, there was a point in there when I had to set my headphones down to talk to my wife, and I picked it up. And I believe I heard Daniel say something about putting Christians in a blender. I didn't really catch what all that was about, brother. Can you clarify that for me, please?
I will absolutely clarify. You know, we were talking about how we're portraying our God to others, and I was saying, you know, if someone asks us what we believe, and we say, oh, you know, it's kind of we're kind of like Christian, but not really. Yeah. We're kind of Jewish, but not really. You know, it's kind of like putting Christians and Jews in a blender, and that's kind of what we are, but not really. So I was just kind of saying, you know, how are we portraying ourselves? And it just kind of happened that a blender got thrown in the mix. No pun intended there.
We got to put us in our box, right?
That's right.
We get scary
when we come out of the box.
There you go.
It was great. It was really good. You know, my wife is the one that came up with prayer, praise, and proclamation, and we have tried to live our lives the best we can in all three of those areas, and have fallen short quite often. And you know, to hear you guys go through the terms and terminology, the Hebrew terms, and bringing this up, you know, I mean, it's almost like most of these things we've heard several times before, but to put them together all in one setting and talk about them the way that you did was very, very well done. Especially when one of you asked at the beginning, okay, what are we talking about today? So you see, you guys just flow real well.
This was all impromptu, Mark.
I love it. I love it. No, I understand. I'm giving you my time. Anyway, you know, proclamation is huge. It is a daily thing that we have to. We have to stay focused on, because without that proclamation, we fall short, and it's such a long road up. But you know, the second that you go backwards, or you sit down, you fall down a little bit, you know, it sure seems a lot steeper and a quicker decline going down than it was going up. And I hope that most of you absolutely never have to experience that. But honestly, to anybody that has walked away from the Lord for any period of time, it doesn't take long to get far from God. Where, you know, I mean, it doesn't take long to get to God, but there's a steady road there. So all of these things, a daily prayer, a daily praise, and a daily proclamation really does help quite a bit. It's kind of like an apple a day keeps the devil away.
Don't get off God's interstate on the frontage road. Stay up on the slab, folks.
So I guess you guys would have never thought I would have got all that out of your teaching, huh?
Well, it's a blessing to hear that it came across well.
Good.
Absolutely.
Great. Hey, Chris, I understand you're going to be with Corey Stallsworth Sunday night.
You know, unfortunately, Mr. Smith, we did have to reschedule that. My grandmother's brother just passed away.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, if you guys could keep our family in your prayers. So we're going out of town to the memorial this weekend.
Absolutely. Okay.
Well, I talked to Corey earlier, and his show on Lamb Radio is on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock, and that's pretty basically when we're going to be done with the whole conference. So I told Corey, you know, you come right on in after us, and you can just do your show afterwards. And he was thrilled about it. Said you might be joining him. So anyway, we'll be looking forward to that, Chris. You joining Corey on his show on Sunday night. Some people say he's a great guy and really does a great job. So
me too. I'm very excited. Yeah, Corey is fantastic.
All right, guys. We once again very, very much appreciate both of you. And we've been listening to Daniel Clayton and Chris Knight. And they are of the Unashamed broadcast on Hebrew Nation Radio. And if one of you'll get me them archives, I'll get them on Lamb. So we're just kind of waiting for those. Give me an email sometime and I'll tell you exactly how to get them to me and we'll see what we can do. But other than that, guys, we really appreciate you. Stay true to the Lord.
Amen. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, sir.
You bet. Absolutely. God bless. God bless. All right. I'm sorry, Daniel. What did he say? I missed what he said.
He's gone. He's gone. Mr. Smith, he's gone. Don't you like it? Yeah, or maybe not. I don't know. It's nice to hear kids have been raised up to be respectful to their elders. And, you know, they, like we said earlier, they do mom and dad. Proud, really, that's really right. Do.
Well, I said earlier to Mike Clayton, who is in the chat room, that he raised him right. And he said, well, his mom had something to do with it, too. So. Kathy, if you're listening, I will agree 100%. Yes, I'm sure.